picture of the frozen army and read aloud. The Dragon King had 7,000 life-sized clay figures made for his burial tomb. The clay was baked and painted. The Dragon King hoped that the clay army would protect him after he died. "It's like the pyramid in ancient Egypt," said Jack. "Remember? The queen was buried with a boat and lots of things to take to the afterlife." He looked around. "Annie?" "I'm here," she called. She was far down another row. "Come back here," yelled Jack. "No, you come here," said Annie. "It's so cool, all their faces are different." Jack threw the book into his sack. Then he hurried down the row to Annie. "Look," she said. "Just look." In the flickering lamplight, they wandered down the rows of soldiers. No two soldiers had the same nose, the same eyes, or the same mouth. "Oh, man, no wonder so many people had to work on this tomb," said Jack. "They really did a good job," said Annie. "Yeah," said Jack. There were kneeling archers and foot soldiers dressed in red and black armor. There were real bronze swords, daggers, axes, spears, bows, and arrows. There were even life-size wooden chariots with horses. The horses looked completely real. They were different colors with white teeth and red tongues. "I have to take some notes about all this," said Jack. He pulled out his notebook and pencil. Then, kneeling on the brick floor, he wrote, "No two faces the same, not even the horses."
"Jack," said Annie. "You know what?"
"What?"
"I think we're lost," she said.
"Lost?" Jack stood up. "We're not lost."
"Yeah? Then which way is out?" said Annie.
Jack looked around. All he could see were rows of soldiers. In front of them, to the right, to the left, behind them, nothing but clay soldiers.
"Which way did we come?" said Annie.
"I don't know," said Jack. All the rows looked the same. They stretched out endlessly. Jack tried not to panic. "I'd better look this up," he said.
"Forget it," said Annie. "Morgan said the research book would guide us, but in our darkest hour, only the ancient legend would save us."
"Is this our darkest hour?" asked Jack. Annie nodded.
"Yeah, it's pretty dark."
"It does seem to be getting darker in here," thought Jack. The air was getting thicker, too. It seemed harder to breathe. "Let's ask for help," said Jack. He reached into the sack and pulled out the bamboo book. He held it up and said, "Save us." As Jack waited, the tomb seemed unbearably quiet. Jack held the book up again. "Please help us find our way out," he said. He and Annie kept waiting, but nothing happened. The air was growing even thicker. The light was getting dimmer. The countless rows of soldiers seemed creepier. Help did not come. Jack felt faint.
I guess we'll just have to.
"Look," Annie said.
"What?"
"The ball of thread. It rolled out of your sack," she said.
"So what?" said Jack. He looked at his cloth sack lying on the floor. The ball of yellow silk thread had rolled out, and it was still rolling, leaving a trail of yellow thread.
Chapter 9, The Silk Path.
"What's going on?" said Jack.
"I don't know," said Annie, "but we better follow it."
She hurried after the ball of silk thread. Jack put the bamboo book into his sack and took off after her. They followed the trail of thread down the row where it turned down another row.
"Hey, that's impossible," said Jack. "That's scientifically impossible." "I told you, it's magic," cried Annie.
Jack couldn't believe it, but he kept following the thread. Suddenly, the trail of thread was gone. The ball had completely unrolled. Jack and Annie stood still for a moment and caught their breath.
What now?